Well, our opening scripture this morning is from Psalm 89 in verses 15 and 16. And you might say, man, what's he going way back there for? We're New Testament people. No, there's some treasures. There's some treasures back in here. Psalm 89 verses 15 and 16. And I have it in the King James. So, Lorraine, you can find it in your new Bible and maybe... Yeah, okay. soon after Faith and I got saved, we had some Jewish friends in Florida, and they had gotten born again. And this verse of Scripture meant something so impactful that it had everything to do with the whole future of their lives. It made me really ponder what were they talking about, because when I got saved, I didn't have a Bible, so I got one as soon as I got saved. It was given to me. But I certainly didn't have time to... I didn't have the background of a lot of things like they did. And this scripture says, blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. You were talking about hearing, weren't you? Your testimonies. Well, that was just something that leaped off my notes, that know the joyful sound. That can be the word of God spoken to you. But that's not what they told me what it meant. And that's what I want to talk about. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of your countenance. In thy name shall they rejoice all the day, and in thy righteousness shall they be exalted. What they told me about knowing the joyful sound as being brought up as Jewish people, they knew the Old Covenant extremely well, and they knew the duties of the high priest extremely well. And this goes back to, we're going to have to go back to what they were talking about. And you will find for yourself a great treasure from Exodus chapter 28. This is going to be a little, it's not lengthy in the sense of time, but lengthy in the amount of substance that we can glean out of this if we will have an ear to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is speaking to us through these verses, even though you find them in places like this. So that's Exodus chapter 28, verses 33 and 34. Let me see. You may have to go back a little bit further. Yes, okay, good. We're here. Everybody found it okay? All right, super. Verse 33. This has to do with the high priest garment. Everything that was involved with his particular garment was inspired by the Lord. There was a specific purpose and a reason for it. It didn't just happen by accident so that they could put it on eBay or whatever, or Amazon, and sell it. There were key specific things that it represented. So here in verse 33, and beneath, upon the hem of it, you shall make pomegranates of blue and of purple and of scarlet round about the hem thereof, and bells of gold between them round about. A golden bell and a pomegranate, a golden bell and a pomegranate. So they just kind of went right around the hem of the garment. And it shall be upon Aaron to minister, and his sound shall be heard when he goes in unto the holy place before the Lord, and when he comes out, that he die not. Now, What these people told me that Psalm 89 was all about, blessed are those who know the joyful sound, they're going back to when the high priest went into the Holy of Holies on the Day of Atonement and offered the blood of a lamb on the altar behind the veil in the temple for the sins of the people. No one else could go in there. He had to first apply the blood of the lamb for himself. But when he went in, as long as the people could hear the tinkling of the bells, they knew that the blood had been applied for their sins. And if the bell stopped, that wasn't good. I'm just going to say it like it is. That sound of just knowing of what happened and the power of that blood, even as a lamb, the power of that blood to cover over their sins, and they were good for another year, or however often it was done, but I believe it was yearly. And so for them to tell me that, and then I know there's a little side story. I've not been able to confirm it in Scripture. Once again, reasoning. I don't want to let reason override my faith. But if that priest, for any reason, was not right before the Lord, he weren't going to come out of there alive. And if the bells stop tinkling what bells do, then the person would have known, oh, we're toast, or he's toast. And how would anybody pull him out? He would die in there, and no one would be clean to go in and bring him out. And so this may be a Jewish fable or a Jewish story, but I heard at the same time from this couple that before he went in, there was a rope. Have you heard that? To pull him out in the event that that happened. But I want to talk something else to you about the significance of some of these other parts of this robe, because it's all interconnected. It's kind of like a revelation within a revelation, if you will, about the tassels, that it talks about the blue, the shape of the pomegranate, about the tassels. And it's really a fascinating thing. And it has to do with the fringes. And here you'll find this in the book of Numbers, chapter 15. I'll give you a few minutes to find this. And I hope you'll find it as meaningful as it is to me, for the way that God went to such great, great lengths of revealing himself, revealing his righteousness, revealing his faithfulness, revealing his love in the provision that he made for every person that will ever live or has ever lived. And it has to do with the fringes. And when you're ready, Angie, you can pull that. After we read these, you can put up that photo, if you would, that I brought you. Everybody find it okay? We got it on the board as well. Good. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and bid them that they make them fringes in the borders of their garments throughout their generations, and that they put upon the fringe of the borders a ribbon of blue. And it shall be unto you for a fringe, that you may look upon it and remember all the commandments of the Lord and do them, and that you seek after which you used to go a-whoring, that you may remember and do all my commandments and be holy unto your God. When you look at the garment and you see these fringes, each one of them, the way that it was made, each one, and it's really a fascinating thing. And I hope that the photo will show you kind of a diagram. Each one represented every one of the commandments of the Lord. And the way it was made, there are 613 strands. Each one, all of those together, total 613 strands. And so for all the people today that talk about the Ten Commandments, talk about all the commandments, that's a lot of commandments. But the Israelites were reminded with things before their faces to remind them of all the commandments of the Lord. And then you get down to the one, the seventh day. People have made a doctrine out of that, a church doctrine. But Paul said, if you've broken one, you've broken them all. So I don't know if you were aware that there were 613 commandments. We magnify the 10, but even Jesus took care of those. Now there's only two. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might, and that you love others as he loved you. And he said all the commandments are fulfilled in that one. But not to be done away with. And then you see in the Gospels, people were familiar with touching the hem of a garment, because within that the way the garment was woven, it represented righteousness. All 613 commandments were represented there. That reveals the righteousness of God. That reveals to us that that's the place you can come and receive from the Lord your healing, your deliverance. All of that is represented in that garment. And it means when the woman with the issue of blood came, and she saw Jesus passing by, and she said, if I may touch the hem of his garment, what would happen? You see, she's going way back to her roots. And she remembered that truth. And no matter how hard the crowd would have squawked and cried and screamed at her and belittled her, she was not swayed by that, not one iota, because she spoke words of faith out of her mouth. She said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I will be healed. And she spoke those words in faith. Faith even before Jesus had gone to the cross and people were born again. She had faith because she knew what those represented, going all the way back years and years and years ago in previous generations. And that was a tradition that they held fast to. I've gone to Indian villages, and I believe that it was Doubting Thomas, who didn't doubt anymore, that it was Thomas that first evangelized India. Do you remember anything about that, Wayne? I have heard from people in India how the effectiveness of the gospel, because even in some of those rural villages that I went to, people would bring oil. Or they believed in just touching something. If they believed in anointing with oil, but they also believed in the laying on of hands. And those didn't happen just in Jesus' day. They were happening for generations before. But you really got to dig and find them, because these are really treasures. The scriptures are filled with golden nuggets of truth. And you really have to fish for them. But the really neat thing is they believed in those things even before Jesus appeared on this earth as Jesus, the son of Joseph and Mary. And all of these things were for generations. And so, healing in his wings, you'll see that word. Malachi chapter 4, verse 2, he rose with healing in his wings. Also the garments on the prayer shawl, the fringes. The corners of his garment. Fringes represented the 613 commandments. Yes. And also Psalm 91, dwelling in the secret place under the shadow of the wings of the Almighty. That's where our healing comes from. That's where our deliverance comes from. That's where our life, the life of the Spirit, comes from. And all of these things are connected, going all the way back. So when these former Jewish couple told me about Psalm 89, blessed are the people that know the joyful sound, it all stemmed from that. From, we weren't saved hardly a year yet, and that's something that I've always, you know how sometimes people will speak something and you'll remember it for years and years? It's kind of one of those kind of things. And then I don't usually get into a lot of like different commentaries and expositions and things like that, because quite often you'll find it's someone's opinion or their interpretation of the scriptures. Being a word of faith person as I am, it's quite easy to weed a lot of these out, because if you read them, you'll find it's very obvious there's a huge separation between the people that believe in the fullness of the Holy Spirit and those who would rather just keep him quiet in a corner like an it. Well, this one is how, listen to this man, and as I read this, about how does that apply to today? And listen to this man. This is from Gill's exposition of the whole Bible. And like I said, I'm not really one to dwell in that realm a lot, but it was so meaningful the way he brought this out that I don't know if I would have been capable enough to do it in the way that he did it so that we would all get it. So if you just bear with me, I would like to read this. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound of the love, the grace, and mercy of God displayed in Christ, of peace and pardon by his blood, of justification by his righteousness, of atonement by his sacrifice, and of complete salvation by his obedience, sufferings, and death. This is the sound of the gospel, and a joyful one it is to sensible sinners, and is so called in allusion either to a shout made upon a victory gained, such as a sound is the gospel. It declares victory by Christ over sin, Satan, the world, and death, and every enemy, and that he has made his people more than conquerors over them, or to the jubilee trumpet which proclaimed liberty and a restoration of inheritances, Leviticus 25:9. And so the gospel proclaims liberty to the captives, freedom from the dominion of sin and condemnation by it, from the tyranny of Satan and the bondage of the law, and gives an account of the inheritance the saints have in Christ, and through his death, to which they are regenerated and for which they are made meet by the Spirit of God, and of which he is the seal and the earnest, or to the silver trumpets for the use of the congregation of Israel and blown at their solemn feasts and other times. And we're all of a piece. In Numbers 10:1, the trumpet of the gospel gives a certain sound, an even one, a very musical one, that there is no jar nor discord in it, is a sound charming, alluring sound, and very loud. It has reached and will reach again to the ends of the earth. It is a blessing to hear it, but it is a greater to know it, not merely nationally, but spiritually and experimentally, so as not only to approve of it, but be delighted with it, but so as to distinguish it from all other sounds, and by faith to receive it, and appropriate the things it publishes to a man's own soul. And such must be blessed or happy persons for the reasons following this verse. And this is the second verse of Psalm 89, 16. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of your countenance. Enjoy the gracious presence of God. Have the manifestation of himself, the discoveries of his love, communion with him through Christ, and the comforts of the Holy Spirit, and these continued, so that they shall walk in the sunshine of these things, though not always, for sometimes they walk in darkness and see no light. But it is an unspeakable mercy and blessing to walk herein at any time, forever or even for a short season. Going all the way back to Psalm 89, verse 15. And you connect all of these things, and I know I went through that rather quickly. But I'm like Don, I keep copies of everything. And some of you that really, I know Barb digs into a lot of the Old Covenant too. This was one of Rick's rabbit trails. I wanted to explore more fully what those people told us within just a few months of our salvation, because I had no understanding of what that meant, but it was something extremely meaningful to them, and I finally found out why. So there you have it.